Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode of the Spin Axis is sponsored by the Fit for Golf app. I taught a lesson today and the guy said, I used to hit this club 165, but I guess I'm getting older. No, do not accept that. Do something about it, and you'll benefit not only your golf, but your life and general well-being. Sign up for the Fit for Golf app today, and whether you have access to a full gym or just have a few bands and weights at home, the app can create a custom workout that fits your schedule for a healthier life and golf game. Spin Axis listeners can save 20% with the code SPINAXIS at fitforgolf.app. Thank you to Fit for Golf for sponsoring us. Jason, some people think you have to get better before you can get worse. Other people say you should never get worse during a lesson. What's the point of the lesson then? Where do you land on that?
It's actually a really good question. And I would say I've had it both ways. And students need to know sometimes it could go both ways when you're coming in. And I would say for the better player, they'll often feel more uncomfortable because they're used to hitting constantly better shots, where someone that's coming in, let's say they're a 30 handicap, they're used to hitting some pretty bad shots. It's not outside their norm to hit one or two really bad and then one okay, where a good player is going to come in and they're always striping it, and then you're going to try and make a little bit of a different move. They might hit it poorly at the beginning, and they need to know for them that poorly may need to be in there, but you should definitely see a different pattern into the movements. The strike quality may not be there, which obviously the better player is going to feel that instantly, where let's say the medium to higher handicap, they don't quite have the same, let's say, skill level to know that their strike is constantly better or worse at the beginning, and they're not going to feel that big difference. So to come back into the question, should people get better? Sadly, it depends a little bit on the movement pattern that you're looking to change, because sometimes you're looking to change a big movement pattern and their skill into their old movement pattern was the only reason that they could sort of strike the golf ball well. But for that golfer, you're looking for that longer term gains, where sometimes it's just strike that you might be trying to improve, and therefore with whatever you're changing, that should get better instantly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said it that way, because I often find that my better players have taken more lessons. And so they're almost more accepting of the fact that in the lesson, they might hit some shots a little bit weirder, a little bit worse, but it's the right way to go about a change. And some of my people that are worse players, maybe it's their first lesson, they almost expect an instant fix, and they almost expect to be instantly better and to be able to find the golf ball as poorly, but as well as they've done it in the past. So Tyson, I don't know that we're disagreeing, but like if we were, which side would you land on?
I think what we have to do first as coaches for our players is define what is better for them, right? For one player, it might be you need to move better. You might not strike it better, but I have the feedback. I have the visual feedback from video, from TrackMan, sports box gears, whatever we're using, to show you that you are getting better. That might take a while to translate into more solid strikes and better flight control. For the next player, it might simply be getting rid of their slice in really pretty quickly, and they define that as being better. Literally had this lesson yesterday, first time player for me who had taken lessons from somebody before and said, I've just gotten worse. I took three or four lessons from this guy. I used to shoot low 40s. Now I'm shooting mid 50s. I've gotten worse. It was a 13 left club path and his face was 14 degrees open. Like, that was a really easy and quick lesson for this guy to feel like he was getting better, because when you have the feedback, you could teach them really quickly. They see the shots getting better. So I think we have to define it first. What is better for the individual?
Yeah. And I would say, do you see that the same on your lesson to you, Eric?
Yeah, I think it depends largely on the lesson as well. We talked in a previous episode about how coaching changes for us that are seasonal, depending on whether we're in season or out of season. And for example, if I have someone that comes to me in season that says, oh, I'm just missing everything to the left, everything starts kind of straight and then draws to the left or something like that,
the fix for them might literally be, okay, grip the club face slightly open and that will start the ball to the right. It'll both draw less and draw to the target instead of starting at the target and drawing away from the target. So there are certain kinds of lessons where the fix is pretty quick and the player does get better pretty quickly. I tend to see more immediate success in season because the way I coach changes a little bit differently. Or we all have this experience where someone comes for a lesson and they're like, yeah, I want to come for a lesson because, you know, I got a golf trip coming up on Friday. Like,
oh, no.
Okay, so that player, you can't put that player on a 3-month like thing that's going to take that long to improve. You know, that guy needs probably something that will help him a little bit more in the short term. Doesn't mean it's necessarily a Band-Aid, but it does mean that that player is probably not going to come back for a second lesson if you send him on the golf trip and he plays worse than what he was currently doing. It depends, as always, and with anything in golf, but I think it's dependent on what the player is doing and what the player is fixing. Some of the players, we all know, you can give them a crazy change, and for whatever reason, whether it's genetics or whether they just have an ability to find the golf ball, they hit it better right away. Other players, you change their path by 8 degrees and they can't find the face at all. You know, they're hitting it off the toe, they're hitting off the hosel, they're topping it, like all kinds of stuff. It depends on a lot of players. You see the same things, I'm assuming.
Yeah, for sure. And what I would say is sometimes you need to make 2 or even sometimes 3 changes in a golfer's overall swing pattern. And you may only make that one swing change in the one lesson. And I had this, you know, a week or two ago where a guy came in and his arms were too low around him. And then it would also, like, his lead arm would, you know, get too pinned to it, to his chest. And so his arm structure was too low and it was too far back and behind him. Now, from that pattern, he had figured out how to just get down to the golf ball, but he was adding loft, he was fatting it, and so he could at least strike the golf ball. I said, okay, first things first, what we need to do is we need to get your arm structure a little bit higher, and then we need to get the arms a little bit more off the chest. We need to create a little bit of width and some height in your arm structure, which was fantastic. We got to do that, and he whiffed the golf ball maybe 8 shots in a row. And you could just see this frustration building in this guy. He's like, man, I literally can't hit the golf ball right now. I'm like, okay, well, I know you can't hit the golf ball right now, but here's your swing. Does this look, let's say, more comfortable? He's like, yeah, it looks really good. And I'm like, okay, within another, let's give it another 5 more shots. We threw in a couple more little external cues. And he at least was hitting the golf ball. His club head speed jumped 6 miles per hour. Yeah, he wasn't necessarily striking the ball as well as he was before. But I said, you know, once that pattern becomes ingrained, then we can move on to the next thing, which is going to be how to lower the arm from where they are now, because it's a completely different position. And yeah, it took another probably 10, 15 minutes for him to start actually hitting the golf ball a little bit better. It was not where he was first coming in. But about 2 weeks later, he sent me a video and he's like, how's this look? And it was about 20% better than he was before. I'm like, looks much better. How's it feel? He goes, it feels great. I'm literally hitting every club 10 to 15 yards further than before. And it feels so much easier to do this. I'm like, okay, great. You know, whenever you're ready, we'll come in, we'll do the next lesson, we'll work on the next thing. But if he left the lesson, let's say within those 5 shots and was just disgruntled and like, oh, I can't do this, he would have just gone back to his old pattern, which is not a good repeatable pattern. It is a pattern and he can hit the golf ball, but he can't hit the golf ball as well as he possibly could because he wasn't into like the next thing that needs to happen inside his swing.
Yeah, and Tyson, I think the classic example would be a golfer hit slices, so they, you know, the face was open, so they've trained themselves to swing to the left. Most of us probably fix the face first, but then that golfer might leave hitting pulls. So the next time he goes out on the golf course, even if he's able to apply those changes right away, he's aiming at the left edge of the fairway or something like that, playing for his slice to kind of land back in the center, right center of the fairway, and he keeps hitting hot pulls to the left, flying greens, left rough, left trees all day. He's going to shoot a worse score, but he's a better golfer at that point, right? So how do we define better?
Yeah, 100%. I see that pattern literally on a daily basis. And I think one way that I will define better is if I can help that player understand why he's hitting that shot, he is better. If I then can help that player add some pieces to their swing where they can minimize that shot, obviously they are now better. I think we've all been there where we hit a shot that starts left, stays left. And if you don't know why that shot's happening, like, golf is frustrating. ultimately, if we can help players and educate players to understand why it's happening, we can give them some strategies. Maybe it's ball position, maybe it's grip, maybe it's just simply opening the face at address, which I had a single-digit handicapper on Thursday. His miss was starting at the target, and it drew 10 yards left, and he's just frustrated as all be out. And it's because his club face was looking 20 yards left at address. Just getting some handling, opening that face, this guy starts hitting his push draw, and there's no doubt that guy is going to go be better. So I think, once again, it depends, but I will always sort of say, if I can help the player understand why the shot is happening, they left better.
Let me throw this out there. There's different versions of better. There's shooting a better score, which is the ultimate, obviously, end goal. Everyone wants to shoot a better score. That's the whole point. There's understanding something differently, so kind of concepts and just knowledge. And then there's being able to move better. The results might not be better immediately, score-wise, or even shot-wise. Like, if you're just talking about shots to a target, you know, you might hit hot poles for a little bit, and then till you come back and kind of sort out the path or something. But I tend to say that I would prefer my students, especially out of season or those working on bigger changes, at least move better at the end of the lesson. And that leads to better shots and lower scores, but maybe not immediately, because stuff takes time to change. Habits are tough to change.
Yeah, I would agree 100% with this. And I'm sure all my students that are listening, hopefully they are, they've heard me talk about the difference between candy and a vegetable swing. So what I talk about is a candy is like this instant, oh, that feels really good. I like that. I want more of that. You can't constantly keep eating candy. We know it's bad for you. If you're trying to be a little bit healthier, I talk about this, it's like, I want you to eat more vegetables. Vegetables don't, unless they're obviously cooked really nicely, they don't taste that great. And so you can have a vegetable swing. And
I don't
so
want
what
a
I say
swing.
Is a vegetable swing is it? You don't want a vegetable swing. Yeah. A vegetable swing is something that's good for you. So in the long term, it's better for you to have a couple vegetable swings. And what I mean by that is, when you change a big pattern, you don't have quite the skill yet involved into making that center strike and that pure feeling, you know, having that endorphin hit, which is hard when you're changing habits, right? Because a habit loop is formed from doing something, you get feedback to that, and your brain goes, I like that or I don't like that. The problem is, if you try to make a movement and you shank it, top it, don't hit it flush, your brain goes, ooh, I don't like that. And that's where you need to have some good feedback and going, actually, that's really good. And there was a clip, I think it was Greg Chalmers talking about in one of his lessons, he moved really well, whatever they're trying to change, and he didn't hit it well. But when the coach went, oh, that was really good, Greg went, oh, that was really interesting. I liked how that felt. And so what that is that's a good feedback device that the player can have going, okay, that might not have been the best strike, but I want to reassure my brain that that's actually the movement pattern that I want to make. And that's where I tell people, you want to eat those vegetables. Because in the long term, you can bring skill back into a good pattern rather than trying to force skill into a bad pattern.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I definitely don't necessarily love the thought of eating more vegetables, but I do love the fact, and I think we've talked about this even before on another episode, but as a golfer, we're trying to do two things, right? We're trying to move our body properly, and we're trying to swing the club around our body as we move properly. And like, those pieces are hard. Some players are good at one or the other. Very few players are good at both at the same time. And to your point, we can be really good at moving the club and have high skill of hitting the ball, but maybe not move our body well, and vice versa. And I think that's the hard piece for players, it taking a lesson when they do hit it worse, even though they're making a better swing. It's hard to really have them buy in that this is right for me.
Yeah, and I think, so this might come back to what kind of player you have on your tee, because I've talked about how I will have a successful practice session and shank half the golf balls I hit, or almost shank half the golf balls I hit.
A lot of vegetables there.
See, this is why people don't like vegetables. If you're going to equate a shank to a vegetable.
That's right.
I need a lot of butter if we're going to eat a bunch of vegetables. You know, I don't know what the butter in this equation is. Some butter, some pepper.
Just give me some candy, man.
Right.
Give me
maybe some we candy. Can. Does like a sweet potato with a bunch of cinnamon and butter count as a vegetable?
Yeah, it could, very much so.
Okay. Then maybe you can get me there. But anyway, I think like I'm motivated by seeing a change on video. Like I can record myself or seeing a change on the mirror, or if I'm monitoring something and I'm exaggerating it, oh, I'm not hitting it out of the toe today, which is my typical thing. So if I'm hitting a bunch of shanks, I'm actually going like, yes, it's changing. It must be changing, you know, and I confirm that with video. I confirm that with some launch monitor data, etc. I think most people are motivated by hitting the ball solidly, hitting it toward the target, hitting it far, feeling comfortable in what they're doing, which is a big barrier because you have to feel uncomfortable for a while for it to actually be different. I think it comes down to what kind of student you have in front of you and what their motivations are, whether they deem it as better. What do you think of that?
I think what you're talking about there, right, is a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And you know, I think we're always trying to, as coaches, impart a little bit of a growth mindset to our students. You know, and obviously, again, we have those lessons where the player just hits it much better, much quicker. And those are fun lessons. I think the lessons that keep us up at night are the ones that maybe we felt like should have been a little bit better and weren't. And we're constantly trying to, you know, find other ways to communicate the same message to those players. But it's, I think that growth mindset is massive. What do you think about that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, as Eric said, in the end, you need to know what your student is looking for, one, inside the lesson, right? If someone comes in and they go, yeah, I go on a golf trip in a week, you're not going to make big patterns, right? It's like, all right, how can we get this guy to hit the golf ball better? But he might have a terrible pattern that you're like, man, I feel really bad having this guy leave right now. But you got to know as a coach that this is the best that you can do in that little amount of time. And then the flip side, obviously, you know, if you're looking for pattern changes, well, you need to be able to give that student the feedback to go, yeah, look at this. Look how good this is. And you need to be able to give them into that feel and that energy that they get that, again, that cycle. You need to get that habit loop of, I know you weren't striking quite great, and that's totally fine, but look at this. Look how much better this is for you. Because in the long term, that's going to be a lot easier for you to hit in the middle of the club face.
So is it fair to say that all of us would say the student gets better in a lesson? Nobody gets worse in a lesson. It just depends on how we define better for that lesson and that student.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes. You're getting better in this lesson.
All right. Way to pat ourselves on the back. Yeah. Everyone gets better in every lesson all the time.
And when you go on your trip, when you come in for your lesson on Monday and you leave for your trip on Thursday and you play terrible, keep my name out of your mouth. All right, fellas. Well, just like our students, I think we're getting better at this podcast.
Hopefully.
As always, again, thanks everyone for listening and for the feedback that you guys have been giving us. Again, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button if you haven't. And as always, share this with your friends.
And you can always find us online at thespinaccess.com or at all the social medias at spinaccess.
Send your feedback to us. We like to hear it. We like to interact with you and hear what you think. Do you get better in a lesson? Do you get worse during a lesson? What's your definition of better in a lesson? Thanks for listening.